may need it midway through the sermon, if that's possible to do. Huh?
I said your cup run over.
Well, it yeah. Unfortunately, it did. So, our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning to read at the 13th and reading through to the 34th verse. Jesus teaches a lot of parables, and this one is called the parable of the rich fool, because we see a man who is really kind of caught with the abundance of his possessions, and he believes that if he keeps building bigger and bigger barns, at some point he's going to find true happiness. And what he finds is what we often see in the lives of people we know. So, I don't need much of an introduction here. Thank you. We'll spill it there. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'Self, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God.'" Our epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, and it is one of my favorite readings, the first chapter, beginning to read at the 20th verse, I believe, and reading through to the 30th verse. Paul is in prison. We know that Paul was imprisoned on a number of occasions. He was imprisoned in Ephesus. He was imprisoned in Caesarea. And scholars believe his final imprisonment was in Rome, where he lost his life, where he was beheaded, probably during the Neronic persecution. Nero fiddled, he didn't really, as Rome burned, and Christians were blamed for that, although it may well be that Nero set fire trying to clear the slums out, but he burned part of his palace in the process. So Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, which was a very, very supportive church for him, and also a church that contributed what they had to the impoverished church in Jerusalem, where Christianity began, where Pentecost began. So Paul is writing in prison, and what is wonderful about this letter, of course, is that it is filled with joy and hope throughout. So he's writing now about what he should do because he wants to be with Christ immediately. But he also understands the need, while in prison, to still care and share the gospel with those who need it. Hear now God's word to us. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to do depart and to be with Christ immediately, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of my ministry. This is the word of the Lord. I want to talk about bucket lists. And that phrase came into being, I think, in that 2007 movie, The Bucket List. How many of you saw that? Amen. I haven't started my sermon and I get an amen for a movie. My goodness, we're moving in the right direction, I guess. Well, if you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful story about a fellow, Jack Nicholson, who plays a guy named Edward, who's very, very wealthy. He's a gazillionaire, and he's made his business in the healthcare industry, I guess. But he comes down with lung cancer, and the patient beside him also has lung cancer. And this individual, an African-American, is played by Morgan Freeman, and his name is Carter. Now, Carter is a poor man. He wanted to be a history teacher, but he never got around to doing that because he had a child at an early age, and he had to support his wife and his child, and so he became a car mechanic. Whereas Edward, played by Jack Nicholson, again was a gazillionaire, and he had all this money, and he even had a servant. He wasn't very religious, and the servant kept saying to me, "You're calling me by the wrong name. My name is Matthew." And Edward would say, "Yes, but that's too biblical, so I'm not going to call you Matthew. I'll call you something else." So he wasn't a very religious man at the time. So they did not get along initially, but one day, Carter, the mechanic, wrote down a bucket list of things he wanted to do before he died. And Edward got a hold of that list, looked at it, and said, "You know, let's form a partnership. We'll pursue your dreams and I'll fund them. We'll pursue your dreams. Looks good to me, and I'll fund everything. I got the money to do that. What do you say?" So they sneak out of the hospital, and in the course of I don't know how long, they go skydiving together. They drive a Shelby Mustang. They fly over the North Pole. They have dinner at the best restaurant in Paris. They visit the Taj Mahal. They visit the Great Wall. They visit the base camp at Everest. They have a lion safari. They visit the pyramids. Wow. Even if you're fully healthy, that sounds like a big dose of bucket listing, does it not? And, you know, when I look at that list and I think about what our lists are or what they might be, and when I look at the gospel and what the gospel tells us in our text, there are a number of things that come to mind. And the first thing is that bucket lists, in a positive way, in the way we see in the movie, expands our self-definition of self. Because often we define ourselves by what we do, right? We don't define ourselves by what we dream about. We don't define ourselves by those things, those empyrean things that we look at and say, "Boy, wouldn't that be nice to do that?" Instead, we said, "Well, I'm a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, and that's who I am. And if I'm not that, I don't know who I am, so maybe my life is just the way it is, but it could be richer." If we dream about all the things we want to see, not accomplish, but see and experience. So I was with a friend, a dear friend, who is thinking, he's a minister, thinking of retirement. And he said, "I want to talk to you about that because I don't know whether I should retire or not." And he said, "You know, I've been 11 years at this church, and it's beginning to kind of go downhill. And I said to him, well, maybe you should retire then. No, I didn't say that. But I said to him, maybe you're Moses and you need a Joshua. He said, well, what would I do in retirement? I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to study quantum physics. I want to study quantum mechanics. And I said, what's wrong with you anyway? And he said, I was a European history major in college. I just want to read as much history as I can. And you know, I'm really bright, but I don't know beans about a computer. So what I want to do is study the computer. I said, you know, sometimes we think God doesn't want us to fulfill some of these dreams. But Scripture tells us in Psalms, God wants us to fulfill the desires of our hearts. God wants us to fulfill the desires of our hearts. And he said, I said, well, what does your wife think about this, whether you should retire or not? And he said, well, we have a rule. When I married her decades ago, my best man, who was very bright, said, always listen to your wife because she's always right. And he said, you know, that's the case. She's always right. When I listen to my wife, it's like listening to the voice of God. And so I said, what is your Miller rule? What does your wife say? She says, retire. I said, I'm out of here. You have your answer. Retire. But I think bucket lists can be good because we realize we are more than. We are dreamers. And that's indeed what God wants us to do. God wants us to indeed fulfill the desires of our hearts. Now, when I look at this movie, a second aspect comes to the fore, I think, that's also important. In the bucket list movie, there are two guys who work together, right? And I think in order to have a bucket list which is worthy of the Lord and worthy of our calling, it has to involve someone else. Because when I look at our parable in the Gospel of Luke, this guy who builds barns talks about me, my. What he's talking about is the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. My. But these two guys, who are not particularly religious, get together because they understand they need one another to fulfill their dreams. And certainly that is biblical, and certainly that is scriptural. I mean, Ecclesiastes says you need to be a couple because if one falls in the pit, the other person can pull you out. If you're a single, that doesn't happen too often. So, you know, it's not about me, myself, and I. To dream great dreams, you need to have one another. Carter needed Edward to fund his dreams, and Edward needed Carter to indeed have dreams. How important that is. Someone asked me a few months ago, if I had a certain amount of time to live, say 6 months, what would I do? That's a hard question. How many of you have been asked that question? What would I do if I had a limited time to live? Most of you haven't been asked that, huh? Well, I have. I'm not sure what that says. Maybe they're saying to me, I think you're going to be popping off soon. I don't know. So, you know, the first thing, and I was being somewhat facetious, I said, well, what I would do is buy a Ferrari. And then Ferrari Testarossa. And then I think I would just kind of drive around to favorite inns, stay there and eat the best food and the best wine and drive somewhere else. And they said, that would make you happy? And I said, I think so. And then the voice of God was spoken through this person. He said, what about your daughters? And I said, well, I wouldn't take them along because they'd want to drive the Ferrari and I wouldn't get a chance to do that. But they were right. What about your daughters? What kind of lonely life would that be? Driving my Ferrari around for 6 months, eating at great places, and eating by myself. No, heaven would be having all those things, but most important, having someone to share it with. Having people you love to share it with. Others are always and should always be included in our dreams. And then, of course, in this movie, which I love so much, Carter the mechanic dies. And Edward has one more thing on his bucket list. He is estranged from his daughter. He is estranged from his daughter. And miracle of miracles, the greatest thing happens. His daughter and he come together again. And at the end of the movie, he can kiss the most beautiful girl in the world, his granddaughter. That's the true bucket list. And Marvin came up to me before I was going to preach the sermon. You didn't know what I was going to preach on. And Marvin said to me, he said, I can use it. He said, you know, my daughter and I are no longer estranged. And I had the most wonderful day with my grandson and my daughter that I've ever had. And I'm here to celebrate the most wonderful miracle that ever could be. Thank you for putting legs and flesh to this sermon. Yeah, that's what it's about. Dreaming a dream not alone, but rather with people we love. And I think when we look at Paul too, you know, Paul is ambivalent. He says in a Roman prison, my joy is being with the Lord. I just want to fly away to heaven and be with him and fellowship with him. That's what I want to do, but the bucket list really has to include others, and it's more necessary and important that even though I'm in prison, you're going to visit me, and I'm going to give you the advice you need so that you can grow in the faith, and the churches we've established will grow. That's so important. That dream of helping others takes precedence over flying to heaven. I mean, I like Buddhism in that way, too. You know, the Bodhisattva says, you know, I have reached enlightenment. I have reached nirvana, but I can give that up to go back and help other people. That's more important because I want to help them see that as well. So, let me go on. Oh, I'm in a talkative mood. The third thing I'd like to say is start ticking your bucket list off now. Right? I mean, the parable said the rich man had everything. He was going to build barns, and then he was really going to enjoy himself. And what happened? He died, right? How many people do you know who've said to you, you know, I'm really not living now, but when I retire, man, that's when I'm going to live, right? Oh, when I start collecting my pension, then my life is really going to take off. You know, the decades I've been living now is just a preface to my retirement, and then I am really going to fly. Oh, life will be wonderful then. What do you mean I have cancer? What do you mean my life is required of me tomorrow? What does that mean? Well, it means that we need to have a bucket list that we implement throughout our lives, so our whole life will be rich and rewarding. The psalmist says today is the day of salvation. Not retirement necessarily, but today is the day of salvation. Do we really believe that? How about establishing a bucket list for yourself that will be fulfilled in a week or a month or a day? What might that look like, and how might that stimulate your life? You know, I've done a lot of things wrong in this life, and that's why maybe I'm a minister. I don't preach because I know a lot. I've just made a lot of mistakes, and that helps me preach, I think. But one of the things I have done right is that at a very early age, I decided that I would see everything I wanted to see around the world. So I was on the Great Wall of China, walking around without anyone around because I got outside of Beijing, where no one was. I found a guide who had a friend for a certain price would get me into a secret cave in the Great Pyramid of Cheops. And it was just the two of us wandering around in these kind of, darkened caverns where kings and princes once resided before their tombs were robbed. I've climbed a mountain, Chimborazo, in Ecuador, which is, it's only nearly 21,000 feet, but because it sits on the equator, it's the closest point on Earth to the stars. In fact, it's 7,000 feet closer to the stars than Mount Everest. And it's also the furthest point away from the center of the Earth. So I've I've done so much. I've been on a plane. So when people ask me, well, what's your bucket list? I said, my bucket list is sitting here, standing here preaching. That's what I enjoy doing. Watching football on TV. Taking a nap. That's my bucket list now because I've done all that I need to do and I don't want to do it. So I'm saying, I'm not trying to use myself as an example, but do the stuff you want to do while you're still healthy enough to do it. Do the stuff you want to do when you're passionate about it. The passion you have for something at 30 may not be the passion you have for something at 60, so do it at 30. Don't wait. Life is short. God wants you to live it to the fullest. Shall we do that? How about a bucket list each day of our lives? That's what God wants for us. Make sure, too, your bucket list is composed of simple things, like kissing a granddaughter. Make sure it's composed of simple things. Paul traveled around the world, and what did he want at the end of his life? He wanted a favorite cloak. That was his bucket list. He said to his spiritual son, Timothy, can you get here? I want to see you, and bring my cloak with you too. I don't want anyone else to have that cloak. I want to be warm in it. I want to smell myself in it. That was his last will and testament, his last bucket list thing, to have that cloak. Make sure that your bucket list, oh, I'm going on, is congruent with who you are. Make sure your bucket list is congruent with who you are. So, I've done a lot of traveling, but sometimes I'll come up to an individual and say, and they'll say to me, have you been to Machu Picchu? And I said, no, I haven't. You haven't? What's wrong with you? It's almost as if it's a sin that I haven't been to Machu Picchu. It's almost as if I better book my... Do you know what Machu Picchu is, by the way? Oh, well, it's an Inca site in the mountains of Peru, you know, which is supposed to have special spiritual qualities about it. And, you know, there's these kind of big mountains there, and it's all grassy, and people have wonderful experiences, and that's where everybody goes to. But I have a feeling that, like the Himalayas, Machu Picchu, they're all going to be selling postcards soon and everything else. You know, it's going to be a tourist trap. But people say, you have to go to Machu Picchu. And I say, I don't want to go to Machu Picchu, and then I get in trouble. You know, the bucket list, God has made each of us unique. Make that bucket list unique to you. There's a little boy, 9-year-old boy named Ben from Boynton, Texas. And his eyesight is going. And in 6 months, this 9-year-old will be completely blind. And he'll never get his sight back again. So his parents asked him, what would you like to see? What's your bucket list before you go blind? What do you really want to see? And he said, well, I would like to see the Grand Canyon. I think that's on most people's bucket list, right? But then it really gets interesting. He said, I'd like to see the inside of a water tower. I'd like to see an Apple iStore. I'm wondering whether I'm going to get a little rebate from what I just said. And he said, I want to see an Apple iStore. And then he said the most interesting of things that really defined him, this little boy. He said, before I go blind, I want to see chalk dust under a microscope. I want to see chalk dust under a microscope. So don't buy what society says your bucket list must be. You have to do this, that, and the other thing. No, you listen to the Holy Spirit working within you, and then you do those things which are congruent to your heart, soul, and mind. Well, my friends, I've come to the end of this. And I want to say, in In the end, I'm going to turn this around and say, if you don't accomplish anything in your bucket list, it's okay. If you don't accomplish anything in your bucket list, it's okay. Because what does Paul say? He says, it's better for me to be with you now, but I'd much rather be with Christ. Why? Because all of our bucket lists and all of our dreams and all of our hopes and desires and all of those we want to meet are reconciled in where? Heaven. Heaven. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, you know, we're like a bud. In heaven we flower. So, you know, if you don't get everything you want to get in the bucket list now, don't worry. Because salvation awaits. And it's more beautiful and it's more wonderful than we can ever imagine. So live with hope, live with peace, get as much done as you want to get done, and hope where you are going ultimately. Thanks be to Jesus Christ for our victories. Please stand and greet one another this morning.